Thanks, Roger. Thanks, Elaine. As we stand, let's pray. Lord, we would pray with centuries of Christians who have prayed before us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, on a day like today, we can identify with those who are thirsty. And we pray that we would know those streams of living water. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and lead us as we reflect on your work as God among us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Please do be seated. There are no better words at the beginning of a book than these words, in the beginning. I mean, that's perfect, isn't it? Kind of puts the context right there for you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God is that side of God that is just so committed to creativity and life. I mean, it's just the most beautiful thing if you just stop and think about that for the moment. It's just that there is that utter commitment to life. Some of us will know people, perhaps a little bit like this, who represent some of this. There are some folk who maybe, you know, struggle to bring life to a situation, but there are others who just have that sort of lifeness about them. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Those who kind of bubble up with an effervescence. You know, for me, the Holy Spirit is like that. The Holy Spirit just wants to bring creativity, wants to bring life, wants to bring that sense of, well, look, if you're thirsty, then there are streams of living water available to you. And we... Oh, hello. Is that me? Ooh. There we go. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Is the handheld somewhere? Let me just use that. Is it this one? I've turned that one off now, so I've turned this one on. There we go. So the Holy Spirit wants to bring life to us and wants to enable us to flourish. That's what we see when the Holy Spirit turns up, right the way through the Old Testament. There's the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel. Do you know that one, which has the from which the song comes, dem bones, them dry bones. I'm not going to sing it. Some of you have now got that in your head for the next week. I do apologise. But that hear the word of the Lord prophecy in Ezekiel is bringing life to dry things. And at the end of Ezekiel, Ezekiel's full of reference to the Spirit, but so's the rest of the Bible, of course, where there is that vision of the river that flows out of the temple. And in John 7, when Jesus says, you know, the Holy Spirit will come and you will know those rivers of life flowing out of you. That people would immediately twigged what Jesus was talking about because he said that in the temple, where there was that expectation, that hope that those rivers of life would come. God's river of life, his abundant creativity would come. And the Holy Spirit is still about that work today. We see it in Peter's sermon. If we had read on through that reading, it's such a great reading. It's a shame in one sense we only had kind of half of it. But if we had read on, we'd have got to the verse where in response to the people crying out to Peter, what must we do to be saved? Peter replies this. He says, repent and be baptized. Repent simply means, if you remember, just turn around. Turn around. Orientate yourself towards Jesus. Walk towards him. Jesus' constant call to people as he through his ministry here on earth. And the constant call of God right the way through the Old Testament and New Testament is follow me. Follow me. Come and follow me. Come and be with me. Come and live with me. Come and be part of my family. Come and join in with what's going on here. Come and be part of this. Follow me. And that's summed up in this word repent, which simply means to turn, to be reorientated towards Jesus. So Peter says, in response to what must we do to be saved, he simply says, repent and be baptized. Baptism is the if you like, the external proof, the kind of the public declaration of what it is that you've done. And he says this, every one of you in the name of be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is still about giving us life and vitality and that creativity, that energy. Virginia and I went and took a service at Medstead for the school children during the week, and they just very simply used the illustration. It was quite cute, really, and quite funny, but they just used the illustration of one of them had a mobile phone and was trying to ring mum, and then suddenly it just died on them, and it just went, it's got no power. And they just simply said, well, the Holy Spirit's like the power that we need. We need to be plugged in. And I'm going, well, that's just brilliant, isn't it? I mean, it's simple, and it's kind of mostly theologically correct, but there's always more to these illustrations, isn't there? But we just need to be plugged in, and that energy and that power flows. Some of us experienced a phone that dies, and we're kind of shaking it and wondering why it won't turn on, and then we suddenly plug it in, and we give it kind of 3 seconds, and then suddenly there's enough power to turn the thing back on again. And actually, if you're feeling thirsty, Jesus wants to give you those waters of life that flow out of you. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to have life and to know life. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us. Jesus says to us, truly I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water, meaning our natural biological birth, and spirit, meaning our spiritual birth. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. Now, sometimes we forget how utterly remarkable and extraordinary, and at the same time, completely ridiculous this actually is. The idea that God, who made the whole universe, would care about this earth at all is ridiculous. The idea that God, who made the whole universe and is so vast and beyond our comprehension and infinite, would care about finite creatures such as us is completely ridiculous. But the idea that God would not only care about us but come to live in us is completely and utterly bonkers, but so beautiful. So beautiful and so extraordinary and amazing. Such a beautiful thing. Those of you who've been here around a while and have read the Old Testament, you'll know that actually in the Old Testament understanding of God, God was everywhere, but he was also particularly in special places. And in order to encounter him, you would go to those special places. And we still do that. And in a sense, God is still in that way. And that's kind of why we gather together. But God is found anywhere. And he's available to us anytime. But in the Old Testament understanding of God, God's presence was symbolically revealed, or in a symbolic way, God's presence was found in the temple. That's where people would go to encounter the presence of God. But God was so holy, God is so holy, that the people couldn't really approach him. You have that image in Hebrews, which is picked up again from the Old Testament, with Mount Sinai, when God gave the Ten Commandments. And it said that, the mountain shook and people themselves shook and trembled and pleaded with Moses that God would not make them go up the mountain, because it was so terrifying. The experience of an encounter of the presence of God was so utterly terrifying to them that they did not want to go through and into this place and space. That's a proper kind of sense of the awe of God that causes us, to some extent, to be terrified at his presence. So when people went to the temple in Jerusalem, and unless they were Jews, they couldn't even go inside the temple courtyards. You know, we've spoken about this a fair bit, but just try and get your head around this. For those of us who are not Jews, which is most of us here probably this morning, you could not go inside the temple courtyards. You could just look at the outside of it. For those who were Jewish, they could go into the temple courtyards, but only the Jewish men could go further in. Okay, we're dividing ourselves out a little bit here, aren't we? Most of us are basically stuck outside already. But then if you were a priest, you could go a little bit further. You could go into the holy place, but all of that was under special arrangements and special regulations and rules. But to enter the actual presence of God, to go into the Holy of Holies, as it was called, was once a year for the high priest only, one person. And because it was such a terrifying experience for them, they had little bells around the bottom of their robe which would jangle so the people outside could hear that the priest was still alive. And the priest, the high priest, had tied onto their ankle a rope so that if the jangling stopped, they could recover his body. Isn't that extraordinary? That was entering the presence of God. Just pause for a moment and think what that must have felt like. And then think about a God who says to us, well, a God who, when Jesus died upon the cross, tore the curtain of the temple open, revealed the Holy of the Holies. Not that God was let out, so that we were let in. We could enter that holy of holy place. We could go in. We who were not even allowed inside the courts, those who were not normally, were suddenly let in. But it's not just that, is it? God comes to live in us. So when Paul writes, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. You could just imagine, couldn't you, if we set a rule that everyone had to wear literally bell bottoms and we all had to wear bells because we've got the Holy Spirit living in us, and actually that if we stepped out of line and did something wrong in the presence of God, we would just drop dead. That was that sense of awfulness. But God in his grace, who made everything, who sustains everything and who gives us very breath, has made a way for us by the cross, not only to enter into the presence of God, but have the presence of God enter into us. Just look around at one another. I don't know what vision you had of the temple and how glorious that must have been and how terrifying and frightening it was to be so separated from God. And just look around at each other now and look at them and imagine this person is a temple of the presence, the living presence of the Holy God. Wow. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I don't want to look in a mirror right at the moment and go, gosh, is that me? I mean, you guys look gorgeous, and you all look very holy, of course, and good people. But most of us, I suspect, are going, we are just not good enough for this. Surely not me. Surely we are not good enough for this. There are things in my life, you don't know about those things, Howard. You know, and maybe God, well, God, of course, does know, doesn't he? But God says about us, for those who turn towards him, however kind of weakly it is done. Do you remember we keep reminding ourselves that God catches us in. He's not looking to catch us out. He's looking to catch us in. And if we will even just weakly turn towards him, and I don't mean every day of the week, that sort of weakly. I mean weakly as in even in our weakness, we will turn towards him. He will give us his Holy Spirit. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, even if we think we are not good enough. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit gives us life. And you have been set free from the law of sin and death. We are not good enough, but God does. God does it for us. We can't live like Jesus. We can't take on that family likeness. But the Spirit can. And the Spirit does it in us. Notice how the disciples were transformed. Notice how other people you know are transformed. And notice the way in which God, by his power of his Holy Spirit, is at work in you to bring transformation in you. Ezekiel again, I will give you, this is God speaking, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. We might not think we are good enough, but God says to us, Jesus says it to us, he says this, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Paul reminds us that we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit in us. Christians are those who have Christ in us, Christ's Spirit in us. That's what a Christian is, a Christ in person. We have Christ in us. But he also reminds us that actually we need to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. We need God's power at work in us more and more day by day. And Jesus says to us that if we ask, it will be given to us. And some of us are going, well, you know, I've asked before, and I'm happy to ask again, but I don't really think God's really, you know, is he going to listen to me? And then Jesus says it again. He says, seek and you will find. Some of you have heard Nicky Gumbel speak about this on the Alpha course. You know, Nicky points out that actually, because there are those going, well, I don't know that that's for me. He not only says, I mean, he could have just said, ask and it will be given to you, and then moved on. But he says, ask and it will be given to you. And then in proper Hebrew form, he goes, and seek and you will find. And then there are still people going, well, I'm not really sure it's quite going to work for me. And then again, he says it in a different way, exactly the same thing. He goes, knock and the door will be open to you. Have you worked this out now? You know, have you got this? We tend to do that when something's like really serious, isn't it? You know, you might say to a young child, you kind of go, don't cross the road. The traffic's dangerous. Just stay still. Stay there. You know, wait till I'm ready. You know, we say those kind of things. We might say it in three or four different ways because we want the child to really get this and understand it. And despite that, in my experience of kids, they still don't... let's do that bit. But Jesus is doing the same thing here, isn't he? He is going, you know, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Have you got this yet? God wants to give to us increasingly the Holy Spirit, streams of living water that flow through us. This Holy Spirit that comes to transform us, to bring holiness to us, and to equip us for works of ministry, to give us gifts. Are we good enough for this? No. But God does it for us through Jesus. Do we deserve this? No. Do we need to be in a particular way before we've done this? The only thing for us is simply to turn to Jesus and to ask. So should we do that now? Let's pray. Lord, we come in our weakness. Whether that weakness is a strength, which really is a weakness, or whether that weakness is a genuine weakness in us. We come in our failures, or with our failures. We come even with our successes. And we want to turn to you. We want to be orientated towards you, to look to you, Jesus. And Lord, we ask, and we seek, and we knock. We rejoice and declare that we are people who have turned towards you and your Holy Spirit lives in us. But we pray, to some extent, like Reg prayed earlier, for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon your people. For some of us, that might be very small things which we perceive only over the course of time. the way in which you're at work transforming and changing us, the opportunities that you present to us and empower us for. For others of us, maybe we need a fresh fire falling upon us today, a real sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds. So Lord, we ask, come. Come, Holy Spirit. You are the ultimate gentleman. You only step in when we invite you. And you treat us all as individuals. And you answer our prayers and respond to us in exactly the same way we would want for ourselves if we knew what you know. So Lord, we want to trust you and to offer ourselves openly to you. Come, come, Holy Spirit. And let's give a bit of space now. Let's just wait. Listen, watch, and wait for God. Father, we thank you for the sense of your presence here at work among us. And we pray that you would continue that good work, that you'd help us to stay open to you as we move through our service, as we sing together, as we pray together, as we come for communion and come with open hands. We pray that we might know and receive not only the body and blood of Christ, but your Spirit. And Lord, help us to live with an openness to your Spirit this week and the next week and the week after. To call upon you day by day and to receive your transforming power, that streams of living water would flow from us, bringing life and healing and blessing to the nations. Lord, your glory we pray for and your glory we seek. Amen. Thanks, Chris.